far greater than my energy field, because everybody who does this finds that they're with a triple light invocation, their energy field jumps from a foot to anywhere 15 to 20 feet. Measurable. And photographable with curling camera photography. Measurable with an acupuncture meridian device. So there's something very powerful about it, which I'm doing a lot of research on now. And I don't know. Maybe there is something involved in it.
It's triggering something for some reason.
There's a natural law involved. I know. I just don't know what it is. I don't believe in mysticism. Mysticism is what you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. It's just you don't know the laws involved. I know the laws involved with this one. I've got a couple ideas, and I'm exploring that at flank speed.
All right.
Anything else, dear?
Does it help you, Myrna?
Very much. Thank you very much, Dale and Bill.
All right. Thank you, Myrna, for being with us.
You're welcome.
I'm Bill Jenkins. It's Open Mind. Request coming in for you to repeat that that invocation, if you would.
I'd be happy to. If each of you right now, if you haven't got a pencil on a piece of paper, I'm going to do this slowly and so that you can catch it and write it down. So, if you will, the light invocation goes as such. I invoke the light of the Christ within.
I invoke the light of the Christ within.
I am a clear and perfect channel.
I am a clear and perfect channel.
Light is my guide.
Light is my guide.
That's simple, isn't it? I invoke the light of the Christ within. I am a clear and perfect channel. Light is my guide.
That's so simple I can have it memorized within a month.
Well, you're exceptional. That's the only reason.
I haven't even learned my wife's new telephone number where she works since she's only been there. You know, I changed it about 6 months ago.
Well, if the people will practice, and let me tell you a couple little stories about things that happened with this light invocation, because I am, this is in line with the fact that I get information which isn't necessarily on crystals. It has to do with the spiritual laws of the universe, how things work.
Mm-hmm.
What is the mind? What does it do? What are emotions? What do they do? What is spiritual? What does that mean? How does the universe work? How do you fit within it? All these things have been given to me over these 11 years. It's a whole mastery process that's been going on. But this light invocation, I had one client, and I do therapy sessions for people, spiritual counseling, a particular type of psychotherapy which removes any negative traumatic experience in the mind of an individual, no matter what it was that happened in their life, can be removed in as little as 1 hour. Permanent.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that took to me. But this particular one, I had this lady who was neurotic, moving into psychotic, definitely heading for paranoia. She was at the point where it was difficult for her to go down to the store and buy groceries. She's just into this nameless fear. I had her doing nothing more than repeating the light invocation over and over again all day long. At the same time, she had an endless loop tape. What is it, telephone answering tapes, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Endless loop, which played over and over again, the same thing, the light invocation. She had it turned on out loud, and it was on all night long, all day long, and she repeated it to herself all day long. Within 6 days, she was out of her house, shopping and talking to her friends. Within 2 weeks, she was back to work again. Now, that's how phenomenal it works. And this lady was really in a bad, bad shape.
Mm-hmm.
She had been to therapy. She had been through all kinds of treatments. It was not working for her. So many times, therapy does work for other people, but this wasn't working for her. Yet, the light invocation, without anybody else doing anything, she was able to bring herself out of she was truly moving into psychosis.
Mm-hmm. So it did work for her.
Absolutely. I don't know how well it would work for someone else, but boy, I am really...
We know it worked for her then, you're saying.
It did work for her. I got one winner.
You got one winner there. Let's see what Meredith has on her line. Hi, Meredith.
Hi there. How are you?
Super.
Hello, Meredith.
Good. Hi. I have actually two questions regarding crystals. The first one is, are there different kinds of crystals? And if there are there different kinds that are good for, you know, different... things. I mean, there's one better than another for certain things which you wish to take care of. And the other question is, where can one obtain crystals?
Boy, can I answer number two.
Number two is here.
Number two is here. Yeah, as a matter of fact, we have a whole thing set up tomorrow, Monday and Tuesday at the Live and Learn Center in Sherman Oaks. And Ho will give you that in a little bit. But let me answer your first question.
Uh-huh.
So we are really here this time with the largest selection of crystals that any crystal tour has ever had, a phenomenal selection so the people can get what they want. Last time, they were very unhappy with us because we had no idea of the incredible audience that your show has. We had no idea of the kind of response we get.
We have to thank Crystals for that. But
this time we're prepared, by Jove. And at any rate, the answer to the first question is, almost every element will form a crystal.
Mm-hmm.
Or combinations of elements will form crystals, because the crystal form is the movement of an element into growth, into something different, into an energy form, which is called a crystal. This is like a plant. The element is a seed. When it receives oxygen from water, it begins to grow. And that's the same thing's true with crystals. And in fact, the energizing effect truly occurs when it grows in its crystal form. Quartz crystal that is not a crystal is called silicon or sand. Silicon or sand, to the degree it has quartz in it, is energizing. By itself, pure silicon has an energy, but is nothing like the crystal form. And any other element can do the same thing. All jewelry, gems, are crystals, and all of them have some benefit. The other part of your question is, well, what about different ones, and do they do special things? Yes, they do. It's the color that's the key. The color causes a vibrational effect upon the energy field, mainly the emotional energy field of the body, since color is emotion that you see. And the proper color can cause a vibrational balance, or an improper color can cause an imbalance. But more than that, we know that we take a clear quartz crystal, it has the effect of working on all color bands, because the clear prism has all the colors in it.
Mm-hmm.
Clear light, when it goes through a prism, gets all the colors.
Mm-hmm.
The clear quartz is the master stone, which is able to do what any other colored stone does. The colored stones are specialists. And just a real quick thing, we have four different stones which we like to use as general stones for the four different bodies. The physical body, we like to work with a green stone because it works directly with the endocrine gland system. Now, the green stones can be almost anything that's a green stone. We particularly like green quartz, and we like emeralds, naturally.
Mm-hmm.
We like green tourmalines, but any green stone works well. Malachite's very good. We also use a pink stone for the emotional body. The pink stone, the rose quartz, is the best, but there are some nice pink tourmalines that work well, so even a couple of pink zircons I like. Yet, that causes a modulating or harmonizing for our emotions. Calms down. Anybody who holds a pink stone in their hand over a period of time will notice that they feel more calm. A blue stone causes a greater clarity of the mind, which also increases psychic ability. And so the lapis stone or the blue tourmaline, blue topaz, all of these stones are very powerful for increasing your ability to think clearly. The purple stone, the only purple stone that's really, to my feeling, there is no other stone like it, is the amethyst. It's been known for all ages as the spiritual stone. It's the stone that a priest receives when he becomes a bishop, and it causes a greater expansion of your awareness of how you fit within the universe. And is also very healing.
Is that what
all
this
stones
is?
Work. Yes, he's holding a beautiful pyramid, cut pyramid, that's made out of purple amethyst. That's correct. And it's very, very beautiful and very powerful.
And there's an amazing power field that's coming right off the tip of the...
You can feel it, can't
you? Feel it, yeah. You really can.
Did that help you at all?
Very much.
All right, Meredith.
Very much. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
I'm Bill Jenkins with Dale Walker and Ho. We're talking about crystals.
Yes, I enjoyed your remarks at the opening of the show very much. I have a lot of questions here. I'm totally ignorant on the subject of crystals. I was wondering if I always thought that was something that you found in the desert and brought home and polished, and then it was nice and clear and so forth. I was wondering if the homegrown kind are as good in all the various beneficial properties that they have as the natural ones that you find out wherever it is you find them, one thing. And I was wondering, too, he mentioned something about growing crystals in space. And it struck me that in space you have the absence of gravity and the absence of pressure. He mentioned pressure particularly. I was wondering whether you could grow them in a vacuum and somewhat simulate here on Earth the effect of space-grown crystal and if he had ever done that. And third question is, this may seem a little silly, but is any on record of ever having cured a toothache with these things?
Yes. That's a very good question.
We're working on that right now with Milton over there.
let's take them one at a time.
Okay.
Your first question was, say that again.
The homegrown versus the homegrown.
Well, I think what you're saying is, if you found a crystal out in your backyard, would it be as powerful as a crystal you found out in the desert? Am I correct?
No. Would the one you found that nature had made in the desert or wherever?
Nature makes all of them.
Well, I mean, what about these ones you grow yourself?
Okay, now, you won't grow a crystal yourself. Laboratories will go because the type of equipment necessary to grow a crystal you normally would not have in your kitchen.
Well, the point is, are the ones that are man-made as good as the ones that nature made? That's the question, I think.
Now, let me answer that by telling you that man-made crystals, which are used in computers, will hold their memory for approximately 6 to 7 years. After that, they begin to lose their ability to hold memory. A natural crystal will hold memory forever.
Well, then it would be better, huh?
That's correct. I feel it is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Now, the next one.
About the space. Yes. And have you ever tried growing one in a vacuum?
I have not.
Or has it ever been tried?
I don't know. I'm sure that things
well,
have been tried.
Do you think it would be worth trying?
Well, you know, the vacuum, even though you put it in a vacuum, George, that wouldn't negate the effects of gravity.
No, it wouldn't, but it would negate the effects of pressure, which is part of it.
Well, vacuum doesn't necessarily stop pressure. You still have atmospheric... Well, you don't have
atmospheric pressure. You don't have atmospheric pressure. That's what you're getting rid of.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you what happens is when you negate pressure, the crystal will form in a perfect geometric shape of six sides.
Mm-hmm.
Because built into the growth pattern of the crystal is a blueprint which makes it do that. Just like the blueprint of your cell makes you grow a finger. And it'll do it every time. Well, in the case of a crystal, when there is no pressure to cause it to be slightly misshapen out of its perfection, it will be a perfect crystal.
But to that extent, it would be
okay,
better.
Okay, now, we'll answer the question, the other one, really quick, because we're coming up against 10 o'clock, so let's answer the third question is what?
And there's our music.
Toothache.
Okay. Put a crystal up against your toothache and hold it there for at least a half an hour and see if a change takes place.
Tell us later where to get them.
We're going to go through that in the next hour, George. I thank you for getting
thank
in there.
Thank you for calling.
Questions.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break for news here at 10 from ABC, and then we'll be back with two more hours of this Saturday night edition of...
Lewis Ho, who is of Heidi Ho Enterprises here in Los Angeles, along with Dale Walker, who is our guest tonight. And Ho has an experiment that he wanted you to try, so let's get into that, Ho.
Well, you know, we've met so many of your listeners over the last couple of years, and I know that you have a group of people who love to experiment.
Well, we all do. You've got to get in there and do it, you know. I haven't been able to go out of body, but I have walked on a boat.
We're working on that, Bill. We have a group that works on you at night.
Oh.
One day.
Uh-oh.
Anyway, because so many of the people at home probably have crystals, we thought that they might want to try the water experiment. And it's a very simple thing to do. All you have to do is get two glasses of water, and you could either use a bottled water or water out of the tap, and put them approximately 6 feet apart. Take your crystal and drop it into one glass. And then if they give it about 3-5 minutes and go back and taste back and forth between the two and smell back and forth between the two, they should discover that there is quite a difference. Now, I don't want to tell people what to expect too much, but most people find it doesn't smell the same, it has a sweeter taste, and it's something that almost everybody notices. So it's something they can try at home while we're on the air. And
all right, that's the idea. Let's do it again. If you've got a crystal, a quartz crystal, get two glasses of water. Dale, go ahead and do that again. Wait a minute. You're not coming through over there. There you go. Hit that.
Hello
there.
We are live. Okay. And with the water, we really have a lot of fun with that. But one of the things you can do is you can try a very simple experiment, too, with cut flowers. Get roses, or any cut flower for that matter. It makes no difference what it is, but we like roses.
You have them around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And get two of equal size. And if you have a rose bush, you can take them off the same rose bush. It's ideal because we try to keep the factors the same. Put one in a glass where you've charged the water for at least overnight. Put the other in a glass or a vase that the water has not had anything else done. Should be the same walk. Put into two separate containers. One gets charged and the other doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
So you put the cut flowers into it and see which one wilts and dies first. That's an easy one to do and a lot of fun to watch.
Now, it's very important that you use natural quartz, because some people have the Austrian crystal, the lead crystal, it's called Vienna crystal, and that's not really...
Lead crystal doesn't count.
No, that's glass.
Yeah, that's just silicone glass that's been with a lot of lead in it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now you have your experiment. Yeah, one for tomorrow and one for right now.
Mm-hmm.
Two glasses of water, 6 feet apart. If you have your quartz crystal, drop them in one. And we'll cue you here in about, let's say 10 minutes. Let's give them time to do it. About 20 minutes after, we'll cue you to taste and smell the water and see if you find anything different. And then I'd like for you to report in if you did, okay? Let's go to Francis. Hello, Francis.
Hi. I want to know, is there some way of special way to choose a crystal, or will any crystal do?
I love that question. Because when my people in classes or in lectures, when they ask me, how do you choose a crystal? And I say, you don't. It chooses you.
Yeah.
Well, the corollary to that is, the way to choose a crystal, if I give you no logical way to choose it, you'll choose it by the only other option you have, and that's intuition. And it's done through the senses. Choose a crystal you like. Choose one, you may like it because it's clear, or maybe it's cloudy, or maybe it's colored, or maybe it's small, or skinny, or fat, or large. Make no difference.
How about cheap or expensive?
I have found some of the cheapest crystals the most beautiful for me, most powerful, most loving, and yet I've paid a lot of money for some others. There's no rule for that.
Uh-huh.
Expensive does not make it better.
Okay. Now, how big should it be when you to put it in the refrigerator and it makes your refrigerator colder and your water clearer? Is that right?
Well, we usually use two different types of crystals for that. The one we use for the water is usually about an inch, say, or an inch and a half long. And the ones that we use for the refrigerator are clusters. Now, any kind of a cluster, either clear or amethyst or even smoky, will work. But the one we found to be the most effective, and I don't really know why, is the amethyst cluster. An amethyst cluster of about, say, 3 inches in diameter in the upper shelf of your refrigerator. If it's an older refrigerator, will usually cause it to be more effective, and you turn it down to usually pretty close to the lowest increment.
Mm-hmm.
Newer refrigerators, it's not quite as much a dramatic change because they're pretty efficient anyway.
Mm-hmm. How old do you mean?
Well, anything over a couple of years.
Oh, okay.
Well, I have one of the side-by-side refrigerators.
Uh-huh.
And the crystal I have in there is just a regular crystal about the size of your thumb.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a cluster?
That's not a cluster.
Uh-huh.
And I have to keep that thing turned almost off. And the crystal I have in the spa,
uh-huh,
which is about 350 gallons, I guess, out
there,
is also about the size of your thumb.
Does that make the spa warm?
No, that makes the spa clear.
Oh.
No chlorine.
That's right. And no algae.
I wanted to ask you one other question about the invocation.
Sure.
And you said that saying that over and over was very beneficial. And it sounds to me as though it's just the same thing as mantra repetition.
You know, I really think it is. I think it's a particular
type of mantra. There's no doubt about it.
Yes, it has a rhythm. Mantras have a specific purpose. A mantra has a very specific rhythm which drops the mind into an altered state, which I consider to be in the alpha-theta range, which is a level which you begin to, all your systems begin to go into calm, begin to go into relaxed, stable, balanced position. And that's what causes this effect of your energy amplified.
Mm-hmm.
When your mind and body are centered and in balance, your energy flows much more powerful, and all athletes know this. Because they talk about concentrating, getting centered, getting grounded, getting focused, and eliminating stress, forgetting about their fear, focusing. If they do that, their energy comes up.
What?
When you work with this particular invocation, however, there is something else involved. It isn't just any mantra. And I have tested hundreds of mantras. I have found nothing that does what this does.
Have you tried... saying this with saying the God within instead of the Christ within, and would that make any difference?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I have. I went and got a book on all the gods and goddesses that I could find and all the religious names and figures, and we did a long experiment to see what happens. What's interesting is some of those actually weaken the body, Some of them increase the energy field of the body. Nothing operated the same way as this particular phrase. And that includes using the God within, the goddess. Includes using God itself or using Yahweh, Jehovah. No matter what it was, Buddha made no difference. The word the Christ is not a religious figure. It is a statement of power which locks into a particular field of power which is very, very loving, very balancing, very healing.
What does the Christ exactly mean?
That's up to you to tell me. I don't know.
Oh.
I have some ideas. I think it's a level of consciousness that we can all achieve.
I think it goes far beyond Christianity.
I don't think anybody... No, it's not Christianity. Jesus was a Christ, the Christ, or at that time. And he achieved...
Christ maybe is like an enlightened being.
Yes, well, by enlightened, it means somebody whose mind is able to absorb more of the total intelligence of God and what that means.
Mm-hmm.
You're triggering your spiritual intelligence when you use that word somehow.
Absolutely. I don't know. To me, this is one of the most exciting areas of research I'm working in right now. And I find the crystal helps to lock this in. I lock that invocation into my crystal. And I touch my crystals every day and put this triple light invocation into them. And it makes a real dramatic change in the way I operate in life. It's very powerful. And I heartily recommend that everybody give it a chance.
Well, how does it affect your life? And do you carry the crystal or wear it or what?
I wear a crystal. I carry a crystal.
He's
I have suitcases
with...
full of crystals. The back of my car is filled with crystals. My house has thousands. Are you kidding?
We call him Johnny Crystal Seed.
I am a rock nut.
Do you have more energy during the day?
Absolutely.
Or what do you mean?
It increases my total energy. It keeps me calm and balanced in the midst of the chaos of life. Nobody's negative emotions can knock me off my center when I've done the light invocation and I have my crystals on. I can stand in the middle of the worst negative anger, hatred, and I stay centered.
It lowers the stress levels.
It absolutely lowers my stress, any stress level. As a matter of fact, when I'm in a room with my crystals and I've done my light invocation, I lower the stress level of the whole room. I can stand. I've done this. I did experiment. I just stood still and just went inside myself and centered, did the light invocation, and nothing more than that. And what happened was all the negative junk that was going on around me began to slowly recede until it stopped. In fact, I did it in a bar one time and stopped the whole bar. I mean, the whole bar went silent. And they all just stood and looked at me. And I was just sitting there irradiating this light coming out of me.
Hmm.
And they all just shut up. It was phenomenal. I left because I didn't want to ruin their party.
You hate to go to a party and ruin it, do you?
Well, thank
I
you.
Never do that.
Thank you very much. I presume you're going to tell us where you're going to be tomorrow.
We sure will, dear. Thank you for
In fact, Francis, I'm glad you asked that question. And, Ho, if you would, why don't you fill us on where we can see Dale and see the crystals and all of that stuff.
Well, as Dale said before, we have brought together what has got to be one of the largest collections of crystals I have personally ever seen anywhere.
Well, that's got to be a lot.
It is. It's incredible. There's no way to describe how much crystal we have.
Lots of rocks.
And so in anticipation, we have a room at the Live and Learn Center, which is in Sherman Oaks. That's 13735 Ventura Boulevard. And the Live and Learn Center, will be there on the 2nd, 3rd, and 4th, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And we will be there from 11 in the morning till 10 at night with crystals and people there to answer all the questions and to talk about what they do. And in addition, Dale will be doing two free lectures each day, one at 2 o'clock and one at 7:30.
Now that's tomorrow, Monday and Tuesday.
At the Live and Learn Center.
Yeah, I'm out there playing, waving rocks at people. What was that address again?
That's 13735, 13735 Ventura Boulevard, from 11 in the morning till 10 at night.
What's the cross street there?
I think it's Ventura and Woodman.
Woodman?
I think so.
Okay, you're east of the San Diego Freeway.
Yeah, well, Sherman Oaks is not really that big anyway, so it's getting very difficult if you get on Ventura and Sherman Oaks to find it.
Should be easy to find. And if you miss that address, we'll, of course, have it for you a little bit later as we go along. With me is Dale Walker. And, Ho, I'm Bill Jenkins. We're talking crystal. And with us is Dale Walker, the Johnny Crystal Seed of America, and Ho of Heidi Ho Enterprises out in North Hollywood. When we're talking crystals, you're talking to two of the people who know more about it than anybody else, and that gives Charlotte a chance to find out some about crystals. Hi, Charlotte.
Hi. Good evening, gentlemen. It's really a privilege to be able to speak with you. I brought a couple of crystals back. Actually, I'm not sure they're even crystals. They're fluorites. Are you familiar with those?
A fluorite is a crystal, yes.
Oh, okay.
It's not a member of the quartz family.
All right. That was my question. If they were able to be used as well as the others, I've got them in a bright yellow and a green. No, it's a blue and a smoky purple color. And they're shaped in the pyramid kind of shape, double pyramid?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's called an octahedron.
Right. Okay. And do you use those at all or not?
I personally don't, but however, other people do. And I find that as my experiments with them, I find them to be beneficial, but the energy level of the fluoride is less than the quartz.
Okay.
And I'm a person who really likes to deal with a lot of energy.
Uh-huh.
Because I like to make very quick, dramatic changes in working with energy. So I usually go for the strongest stone rather than one that's of lesser.
Okay.
But a lot of people work with a softer energy.
Uh-huh.
I know a lot of women like to use the fluorides because they deal with a much softer type of energy, which is just as effective. You know, I just happen to be a high energy freak. But they found it to be very beneficial. And of course, the pyramid shape
uh-huh.
of the octahedron, which is a double-ended pyramid, is very beneficial. And it definitely has an energy. The color is the key, once again, to what kind of effect you will achieve. I just happen to think that quartz is much wider range in its effectiveness because it operates at every level of human energy consciousness,
mm-hmm.
whereas it's the only stone that does that.
Okay.
There's nothing else that operates the full range that quartz does, and all the ancients knew that.
Okay. Well, that's good to know. Also, I have some very tiny little perfectly formed crystals. They must not be a diameter of more than maybe a quarter of an inch even, but they're very tiny little clusters. Is there any use for that type of a size?
Well, many times the small stones, we use those for healing. But when we do use the small ones, sometimes those are placed directly on a pain area. It's a cluster. Otherwise, a small crystal is almost invariably used for a piece of jewelry to hang around the neck or from the earlobes. If it's hung from the neck in such a way that it resides somewhere between the hollow of the throat and the center of the breastbone, which we call the heart chakra, it will stimulate the thymus gland, which increases the immune system's energy.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the immune system is what handles your whole body. If it's worn as earrings over the earlobes, both left and right, we do not recommend you wear one earring. You wear both left and right and use the light invocation as a balancing technique. It has a tendency to help to balance the right and left hemisphere of the mind, giving you a much more clear and balanced thinking and logic and intuitive process in balance rather than being one or the other.
Okay. I have your book, and I also have another book.
God bless you.
And I enjoy it very much.
I know there's something about you.
I have another book, too, that I've started to read, and they talk about power rods or energy rods.
I know what the book is.
Yeah, uh-huh. And you must have experimented with that. What's your opinion on those?
I have to be honest. I personally find that book to be a little bit upsetting because of the approach that it takes of combat.
Mm-hmm.
There is an old tradition among many of the mystery people of combat. And they talk about combat. They're not talking about swords.
Mm-hmm.
They're talking about mental combat.
Right.
And this dwells quite a bit on destroying people with the wands.
Mm-hmm.
My feeling about it, it's not to say that the individual wrote it is this way, but the approach and the attitude of the book was, to me, is a different approach than I take. I'm much more in teaching you how to do loving, balancing things than to wipe out your psyche from 1,000 miles away.
Oh, definitely.
Now, along with that, I will have to say that I found the information to be very accurate in most cases.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what he's talking about.
Uh-huh.
In some cases, that's a little more frightening than if he didn't know what he's talking about. Because he passed on some information which people may end up taking and using in a very, could be, destructive way. So I have to say that it's very well done. It's most accurate. I'd say he's got about 85 to 90% accuracy and I find it a little frightening.
Well, if you use that for beneficial or benevolent ends, I suppose, then that would be okay. Then you could
yes.
use it. It doesn't have to be used in a negative way. And
no.
I have to say, I haven't read the whole thing, and so that comes as a little bit of a surprise to me. I didn't realize that that type of intent was even in there.
Well, maybe I read more into it than I think, but this has been a...
Uh-huh.
a...